Welcome to Lipstick Bitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to Lipstick Bitties Podcast. It is your host, Rachel, here, of course. First of all, thank you all for voting. It is over. Hopefully, I'm pre-recording this. Hopefully, this shit is over. But yeah, you'll never have to hear me say that shit for another 2 years. You know, I really don't even have that many announcements. There's not too much going on. I'm kind of getting prepped for the holidays. On my personal life, a little fun stuff is going on, which I'll be able to let you guys know about sooner rather than later. One of the things, if you've been following a little bit of my personal life, is I now have some foster guinea pigs. You may have seen Nutter Butter and Oreo. I actually do not have them anymore. They are in sanctuary, which for the guinea pig rescue means basically they're living out their long lives in foster care through the rescue. They're actually 6 years old. They were seniors. They were so cute. But yeah, so now I have two little babies and their names are Rocco and Spunky and they're so fucking cute. I haven't made any content with them as I'm getting prepared for the holidays. But yeah, if you want to know more about my fostering, ATL Foster Mom is my Instagram. And a couple reminders, as we say every single episode, the best way to support Lipstick Bitties podcast and community is by sharing. Make sure to take a screenshot, tag me and our guest. Let us know something you learned, something you loved. Of course, you can always join the Patreon where we do monthly bonus episodes. We do virtual meetups. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. Patreon.com/lipstickbitties. And if you'd like to support me by shopping our merch store, we have stickers, we have accessories, apparel. Lipstickbitties.com is where you're going to find that. So those are the ways to support you, girl, and this community. But that's pretty much it for like personal news. No announcements, just getting right into the episode. So my guest today is Journey Gabrielle. You can find her on Instagram at The Journey Gabrielle, and she and I met on social media a couple years ago through the Nenessa Myricks Angels program. So that is how we met, and then we got to work together in person. We've gotten to actually see each other in person, and she is fucking amazing. She is such a driven and talented person, and she is a self-taught makeup artist. So I know a lot of you are starting your journeys as a self-taught makeup artist. Maybe you've been wanting to go into the makeup artistry field and you don't, you know, want to commit to school right away. Journey is completely self-taught and she's been a makeup artist for longer than I have. And so we're talking about her journey with that. So we're talking about how she became a self-taught makeup artist, some of the struggles she had along the way. She's very passionate about community and education. So she's actually launching a really, really amazing one-of-a-kind hub for artists called the Artist House, and it has education, it has community. We're talking all about it, and she's actually offering the Lipstick Bitties listeners a special discount. So this launches on November 11th. So as of November 11th, you can register, and you can use the code Lipstick Bitties, all caps, L-I-P, am I going to really spell this? Lipstick Bitties. You guys know how to spell it, right? And enter that at checkout for 10% off, and it is only good until the end of the year, so make sure to take advantage of that now. Journey is incredible. We talk a lot about vulnerability. We have a lot of similarities in our stories and kind of why we do things the way that we do and our passions, and we kind of like speak a lot about manifesting and visualization, and I really feel like she has a really inspiring story, and I hope that you guys find her inspiring too. Make sure to check her out on Instagram and TikTok. And I hope you all enjoy the episode and are encouraged. If you have a dream, if you have something in mind that you want to bring to the community or to your business, we encourage you to do so, because if it's not there for you, you got to make it yourself, right? So enjoy the episode and I will talk to you guys later.
Hello, biddies. Welcome back to Lipstick Biddies Podcast. This is your host, Rachel, here. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have a very special guest today, Journey Gabrielle. Yes. Hi, Jern. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Please. It's been long overdue. Yes. Like, I should be like, I'm sorry I didn't have you on sooner. Because that's how I feel. Because, like, biddies, you know, if you've been following me, you probably have seen Journey, like, do some lives. We've done a live together, I think. We've done, like, different collaborative things together in the 2 years that Lipstick Biddies has been in existence. So, like, you've definitely been a friend of the podcast since its inception, which is why I'm like, this is, like, long overdue, you right. know, like, 80 episodes in. You know, at least we're, like, we are now well and ready for you. Right. So, first of all, Jern, you look absolutely stunning right now. I wanted to have you on this podcast because there's, like, a bunch of different reasons. But, like, I think I really love your story of being a self-taught makeup artist. And I feel like we've kind of touched upon that with some of my guests here. But I feel like the majority of my guests have been people who have went to aesthetic school, you know, done this and that. And you're also younger than me. And, like, I feel like you've accomplished so much in your short time of being a makeup artist. Like, I think you've been a makeup artist, like, longer than me. We're gonna get into, like, the actual, like, logistics of it, but you've been right. I think you've been a makeup artist, like, longer than I have. Mm-hmm. But, like, I really I just want to, like, start off the episode with just, like, giving you your roses. Thank I really you. Just, like, admire so much, like, how you run your business, how your artistry has, like, just absolutely, like, exploded. And, like, seeing you finally get your roses on, like, TikTok and, like, seeing your pages explode and reach all these people, I'm like, it's about fucking time.
Okay.
So I just wanted to start off by saying that because it's been really, like, a joy in the, because we've known each other since like, probably 2020. So we've mm-hmm. going on almost, like, over 2 years yeah. now. So it's been really cool to, like, see people along their journey and, like, how far you've come just since I've known you. It's just, like, wild to me. So I was so like, much. We need to hear from Jern.
Okay. So, yeah. Hey, y'all. I'm Journey. I'm a freelance self-taught makeup artist based here in the South Jersey and Philadelphia area. I've been a makeup artist for 7 years now. That feels really weird to say. And I'm known mostly for, like, skin-focused creative work and my content. I'm feeling really good and really nervous. So good nervous because it's so weird, like, talking on a Lipstick Biddies episode and not listening. But, yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
It's always some sort of, like, cognitive dissonance. Yes. Both when, like, I have people on here who are listeners and then they're like, oh my gosh, it's so weird to, like, hear myself on the podcast, but also people who have never met me in person, which we knew each other in person before the podcast, mm-hmm. but, like, people who have not known me in person and then they meet me in person for the first time, they're like, oh my god, it's so weird because I'm used to hearing you in my car.
Right. Like, I always listen to you at the gym. So, yeah, I'm supposed to have, like, a sports bra and, like, my waist trainer on and nice. Instead I'm talking, I don't know what's happening.
So, Jern, like you were saying, you're a self-taught freelance makeup artist. I was right because, like, I'm going on my year 6, so, like, you're a little bit ahead of me. So how old were you when you started your makeup career? Like, what made you want to become a makeup artist?
This is always a really weird story. So I started when I was 16 and I was in high school. It was 2016. And I actually was on a swim team for 10 years of my life. And so one summer I had a really bad sunburn across my face and it, like, scarred. And then I had an allergic reaction and it scarred worse. Mm. And it was a whole thing. And so I had went to Target. And I got just the most embarrassing choice. I got the CoverGirl BB Dream in the shade medium, which is, like, not only too light and too pink, but it's just like, why am I getting a BB cream if I'm looking for coverage? But that's a whole other story. So yeah, I came back, put it on. I thought it looked good, even though it was a mess. And then I was just kind of like, my curiosity was piqued. And mm-hmm. the next couple times I went to Target, I, like, grabbed something here and there. And then before I knew it, I had, like, a whole little box of makeup and I was doing, like, a terrible version of a full face. And I looked at my sisters, I'm like, I wonder if I could do your makeup again, another terrible version of a full face. But I was just so I'm a Gemini. So like, I'm just a naturally curious, creative person. And my whole life, I was like really good at school. So I was in honors classes, I did sports, I did clubs. I had always excelled, but something that my parents and my teachers always noted that like, if I wasn't interested in something, even though I could get A+, I would probably get B because I don't care. Mm-hmm. So makeup is like the first thing that I ever was like truly, truly interested in. So yeah, it kind of all took off from there.
So before you became freelance, did you ever like dip your toe into retail or anything like that? Or have you always just kind of done your own thing?
Yeah, I kind of did my own thing. I was really practicing a lot on, you know, friends and family. I really wasn't going further than like a mm-hmm. couple towns over for like a good 3 years. Oh. I mean, granted, I was like in high school, but you know, around uh-huh. this time, this is like junior, senior year, I'm starting to have the conversation with like school leaders and my family, like, oh, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Which is crazy to put that much pressure on an 18-year-old, but that's a little different conversation. And they're like, you know, Journey, you're really good at math. You're really good at XYZ. I'm like, yeah, I don't care about nothing as much as I care about makeup. And it's also mm-hmm. funny because I'm the tomboy in my family. And like for the longest, I was like, I don't want to wear skirts. I don't want to wear nail polish. Makeup is gross. And then like, suddenly I was like sitting here practicing with makeup all day.
You do both. Like I could tell that you like you're definitely like in your day to day like a tomboy.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
you do both so well. And I feel like I do. I'm like very similar. Like I go, it's like the opposite. It's like the total opposite. It's either super, super glam, glitter,
right,
like full face, or it's like nothing.
And it's just listen, we can't all be that girl, but I and you, we have the range. And I'm gonna look like a boy some days, and I look like this some days, and it just is what it is. I love it though.
I love it too. Right. I love the way that like, I also love the way that like you teach. I think that like, we're gonna get into this like later in the episode, so you have an upcoming master class
yes.
online,
yes.
but you've done like classes before that.
Right.
I love the way that you teach, and I feel like the way that you do your TikTok is like, so easy to like understand. Speaking about being a self-taught makeup artist, have you done any formal like education along the way, or if someone wanted to become a makeup artist and they didn't have the resources to go to school,
right.
like where would they start? Where did you start?
So I literally watched YouTube, obviously about makeup, for about 2 to 4 hours every night for like wow. 6 months straight.
Who are your favorite like creators when you're first starting?
Oh, Jackie Aina.
Yes.
Alyssa and yeah. Arnell. I was just like, mm-hmm. I think, so this was 2016. So this was sort of like, I feel like personally, the beginning of like makeup companies starting to really see Black women and like
yeah.
expand their shade ranges. So like my natural thought was like how to do makeup for Black women, because that's just what my community mm-hmm. looks like. And like, that's what mm-hmm. my friends look like. So like, I didn't necessarily like have a lot of resources outside of those few Black women on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really YouTube and practice. Like that was it.
Yeah. So if you're a listener of the podcast, you may know this about me. I actually kind of, I don't fully consider myself fully self-taught, because I ended up going to like a certification course, mm-hmm. but like I was working as a makeup artist being self-taught for the first 2.5 years of
right.
my career. And the reason why I went to school is that I felt like there were certain things that like I couldn't learn
yes.
or like could not, I personally could not figure out, or that I was doing wrong. And I was having other people tell me that I was doing wrong by way of sanitation. Like, biddies, if you don't understand why I make the content the way that I do, it's because it's like almost like don't fall for my mistakes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we all started in the same place, I feel like, regardless of whether we went to school or not. So do you think that, did you have those experiences along your being like self-taught where you were like, I need to go to school for this? Or was it something that you were able to just like dig into? Can you remember anything that like you kind of had to like work harder to learn when you were first starting out?
Right. So as far as school goes, I still have not been to cosmetology esthetician school. I would like to go, and I was actually like begging to go a couple years in. Like, I wish I was telling your story. Like 2 years into my career, I was like, I really want to go to school. But my family has very big focus on college. And at the time, I hadn't felt fully comfortable saying I was going to be a makeup artist for the rest of my life. So I did go to college. I got my associates. And it wasn't until I got my associates that I was comfortable saying that. That being said, I did retail work at Morphe at the end of 2019, seasonal job, right?
Okay.
And I was supposed to just be a stock person. And I like came in with makeup, because you were supposed to. And they're like, oh, you're kind of good. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Like, you came with me like a full bait and full beat, and they were like, you're not going in the stock room.
Yeah, I tried. Thanks, guys. And then I had got pulled to the front a couple times and like had to be a cashier or had to be the greeter, or and then I ended up doing like artistry there. This was like, mind you, I was only at Morphe for like 3 months and everything happened really quick. And mm-hmm. so they're like training me for the sanitation part for the artistry. And I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, no. Like not saying out loud, but I'm like, yeah, no, I knew that. So I'm kind of like, oh shit, I know what I'm doing. Like, oh crap. And then 2020, when I felt like I started to build a community, I had hit up a lot of artists and was like, I just want to make sure I'm not poisoning people. Yeah. You're supposed to use 70% alcohol and da 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 da. And they're like, yeah, Jern, you're fine. So it's funny because a lot of like my sanitation education, or like a lot of the education I wished I would have gotten from school because I didn't go, I was like, well, you gotta figure this shit out for yourself anyway. And by the time I had that confirmation from people who were, you know, trained and experienced and could tell me for sure yes or no, they were like, no, you're good. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, that was, like, crazy being, like, affirmed in that way. So, yeah, I wish I would have gone, and I still will go, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that, like, you could always go to school. Right. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like there's so many, like, very successful makeup artists that are completely self-taught, right, never went to school. Like I said, I just went for like a certification course. So it wasn't cosmetology school or aesthetic school. It was like a 44-hour makeup course. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that you and I have bonded over, Jern, are the things that like I feel like were glazed over for me, or like I was lacking on, which were the sanitation skills, right, and things like that. But that's why I appreciate your content, because you do it in like a very similar way to me, where you're just like, look, like this is how you like cut up a sponge, don't reuse it. Like I was taught in those years of being a makeup artist, like when I first started, by someone who had been in the industry for a very long time, right, oh no, just spray it with cinema, like literally. Woo! This is what I was taught, this is what I was quote taught to do by like someone, because okay, I'm gonna back up, let me tell this little anecdote like from the start.
Please.
So basically I had never seen a beauty blender before. I always did my makeup with brushes, always. Okay. Like my personal makeup too, and my hands.
Wow.
And so I remember working at this studio, it was like a boutique studio in Soho that like never, doesn't exist anymore. I remember them using beauty blenders and I was like, whoa, what's that? Cause like I never used a beauty blender. And so they're like, oh, it's great. And then I remember using it dry cause I didn't know to like wet it,
right,
right, and I was like, this is not all that. And then like my coworker was like, well, no, you need to wet it. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, okay, now what do I do? Do I like wash it in the sink or like, cause it's a sponge? She was like, no, just like spray it with Cinema Secrets and then you just like wring it out. And I was like, okay. And that's what I did. That's
crazy.
And that's what I did until someone,
right,
years later, mm-hmm, very gently told me that wasn't the way.
Right. I was, that's so crazy to me that you said you were just using your brushes and fingers, because I say growing up as a makeup artist in 2016, beauty blenders were very much at the central point of everything. At that point, we were using the blender to do every goddamn thing on the face. So I didn't really start using brushes till like the last couple of years, like being very proficient with a brush, especially like in terms of base makeup. But yeah, so I remember before someone taught me better, I had maybe like 4 or 5 sponges. And I mean, I did the soap and water, and then I saw a trick that said, put them in the microwave in like a bowl of hot water. And
I was like, that's what I would do.
Right. I'm like, yeah,
that's what I would do. Yeah.
Cool. And like, I would do it for like maybe a minute. I'm like, cool, these things are sizzling. Like, I know there's like, oh my God, Jerry, that is not the way. But you know what's so funny to me also, Rachel, is like, professional makeup artists, we get so much flack about proper sanitation on socials, like especially on TikTok.
You mean like that we talk about proper sanitation, or do you mean that like, okay, because like, because there's also like,
no, like people are like,
they hate comments.
Yeah, like hate comments, like you don't need to do all that. And I'm like, I think I do.
Look, okay, like I think that, I gotta say this out loud, I gotta say this on the podcast for the very first time.
Yes.
I think that like a lot of people get triggered by certain content. If you're being triggered by content like that, where it's like talking about sanitation, where we're talking about ethical practices in your business,
right,
like not taking advantage of clients, if that's triggering for you, or if you think, because I've had things go viral where people like the shade of it all. And I'm like, but is it shady?
Right.
But is it shady? Because in my mind, shady is like talking down about like a neutral topic, if that makes sense. Like, you know, trying to put a negative twist on something that is positive or neutral.
Right.
Not saying, making a joke of something bad.
Right. Exactly.
Like making fun of something bad.
Right.
And people that do those unethical, unhygienic things. So right. Let me say this for the first time ever publicly. If you are triggered by any of my content, yeah. like as far as my memes go, my videos, like if you're triggered by that, maybe take a step back, do a little meditation, think about why that could be triggering you, because I used to be triggered in the same way when people would say things to me about things that I was doing wrong. And until I took a step back and looked inward and been like, maybe I'm doing that wrong. Let me look into this. And humbled myself.
Right.
Did I realize? So there's like two camps of it. It's like, that's what I'm going to say about that.
If and I feel you're
like that's
triggered, maybe it's your fault. Maybe you're not clean. It's just as simple as that. And that's what gets me all the time. Like as someone who is self-taught and hasn't gone to cosmetology school, because I mean, my friends that have, they say that a lot of what they teach is sanitation, and then it's just the fundamentals. Like they can't teach you, you know, talent necessarily. Like they can show you, you're supposed to do X, Y, Z steps, you do foundation, concealer, contour. Yeah. But it, you know, you pass the exam. And I always say like, I learned this from Google and socials.
Yeah. And especially nowadays, like there's so much information out there that like, it's hard to miss. And if you were really to like Google our beauty sponges, you know, like, and like actually do your own research, you're going to find, unless you're going to be, you know, doing like fake news shit where you like look up title, like you only read articles that like reaffirm your point of view.
Right. And that's like, I feel like so much of our sanitation is common sense.
Yeah.
So like, I think the only thing that I really had to actively learn was like, okay, use 70% alcohol instead of 99%. I didn't know there's a different dry time until a few years ago.
Yeah. I guess like the other thing is like, I also, because you say it's common sense, but like before I became a makeup artist, I really didn't think about it.
Right.
Like when I would get my makeup done at like any, you know, counter or anything like that. Mm. I really didn't think about the fact that like, oh, this is a tester.
That everyone's touching. Not,
right. And like, I don't really think about it. Or even, you know, if it's a private makeup artist, like, you know, for prom or something like that. Like, I just know the way that I thought back then. Like, I just assumed everything was always like disinfected and clean prior to my arrival. And I trusted that.
Right.
But I don't know if this is like, I don't want to get too deep into sanitation because I want to focus on other things
for this episode. Yeah.
And we also have had so many like sanitation conversations, which please go back and listen to like my episode with Devon Testargosa all about sanitation. But I do want to say like, also knowing what I know about sanitation protocol has made me like super triggered at doctor's offices.
Mm.
I digress. So in your journey in becoming a makeup artist, like you said, you worked in retail. Other than like, you know, sanitation, has there been like any things you've like kind of struggled with along the way that you felt like are harder to learn if you don't have that support or network of being in school, whether it's like a business, like did you learn the business stuff as you went too? Because I feel like you're really good at like marketing your page and like marketing your classes, and you also have online templates for makeup artists. Like you do a lot of the stuff that I always say that I'm doing, but I don't actually do. So if you want templates, go to Journey's page.
Right.
Because I've been saying I've been making templates for 2 years, but Journey has them. Go buy Journey's template.
Yeah.
So what made you think of those kinds of things? Like, are those things that you kind of just like come naturally? Oh, I got to offer this. Or
right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I don't know if I would say, again, I don't have the experience, so I can't speak on it per se, but I don't know if I would say it's specific to not going to school, but in general, what I've had to unlearn was like heavy-handedness. Oh my God.
Mm.
Especially again, growing up in like the 2016 era makeup where everything was a dip brow, cut crease, full coverage, matte makeup. Oh my God. Like the heavy-handedness is crazy. Honestly, okay. So I was assisting. I was like, do I want to tell the story? I do. I was assisting Risa Flowers. She's a really big like makeup artist, I think based out of New York City. I got the chance to assist her. Amazing.
Yeah.
Eunice is like her number one assistant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I like, that was my first time meeting her, like working with her. It happened like very spur of the moment, last minute, but I had known her work and I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. Like, I need to learn. And so I wasn't doing any makeup. I was just there pretty much to like do touch-ups and learn. And as soon as I walked in the door, she's like, in the nicest way. So I was looking at your Instagram page and you're too heavy-handed and it's too yellow. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, oh. And she was like, yeah, do you think this is natural? And I was like, you know, now that you say it like that, again, she said it in a nicer way. And she was like, babe, come sit down, watch the way I do makeup, learn something. And like watching her create a face and watching, first of all, how much she focused on the skin prep. And how very little like base makeup ingredients she used was life-changing. It lives in my head rent-free. And she has such a delicate hand. And I say all this to say, like, she really like changed the way I went about makeup. And I think heavy-handedness is something that a lot of artists suffer from. Like, I get it. Like, I was there, but I'm telling y'all, like, if you use half the product, if you start using, you know, fluffy, low density brushes, if you stop looking for everything to be full coverage and glam, like, I think there's like so much beauty in like a very natural, barely there look. So that's been something that I definitely had to unlearn. And I think another thing just in general is like color theory. Respectfully, I didn't know who Miss Terry Thomason was till like a couple of years ago. And then I was like, dang, this would have been nice to have 4 years ago. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, like, wow. And I think this also goes with not having proper lighting. So like the lighting you're seeing now, I'm in my makeup room at my house. It's a basement. Yeah. There's actually no lighting on the ceiling or anything. I have this one window in front of me, but these are lamps. And for like the first few years, I was doing makeup with these two lamps right here. Like, I didn't have, like, a proper ring light, panel light, nothing. And so I remember, like, my second client ever, I did her makeup. I'm like, okay, this is going decent. Like, I'm not doing too bad. She stood up, walked in the next room. Oh, babe, mama's was purple. She was like, I don't think. I said, it's absolutely not. We're about to wipe this shit off and start again. Like, you know, so, yeah, if I had to pick two, I'd definitely say, like, color theory and light-handedness have been super life-changing for learning or unlearning.
I think that light-handedness too is like something that's hard to unlearn because you usually don't know that you're heavy-handed until someone tells you, and most people aren't gonna tell you.
Right. And that was the thing, because when she had that conversation with me, I had already started to have a lighter hand, and I was getting so many like, oh, your makeup's always so natural and dewy, I love it. So I'm like, what she mean I'm not the shit? Like, what she mean I'm not light-handed? But then like I like looked at her work and looked at mine, and she was like, yeah, babe, this is editorial. This how you book for those magazines that you keep talking about. And I was like, wow.
I think that, like, I think that, like, the telltale sign of heavy-handedness usually is if you're getting a lot of fallout.
Right.
And, you know, people talk about fallout. I learned how to do makeup face first and then eyes. And then when I became more proficient in skin, I felt like I needed to do the skincare first, let that absorb, do the eyes, and then the complexion. So that's how I do it now. But like in the beginning, so I always had a pretty light hand because I didn't want to fuck up the face, and I never like put down anything. And then using like cream products like Color Fix and, you know, the About Face cream paints, like, you know, those kinds of things come out now that I use more creams than powders. But I would say if you think that you're like I always ask a client while I'm doing their makeup within the first like minute, is my pressure okay? And that gives, you know, if you don't say that, you're never going to get the feedback. But like if your client's squinting, if they're backing away from you, if you are someone, you know, like, again, these are things that we can make fun of ourselves on, like, you know, everybody, like the claw when we hold someone's head, which if you're going to place your hand like nice and gently and delicately on their hand to kind of hold it steady is one thing. But if you are finding yourself holding onto someone's head because they're backing away from you,
if you're holding their entire scalp, you might be the problem.
Yes. Like if you are holding it because you feel like they keep backing away from brush, it's because you're heavy-handed.
Right.
I hate to tell you, but now you know.
Oh my God. The way you just pulled that out my memory card. Wow.
But did someone ever do that to you? Is that
Yeah, absolutely. I'm I'm like, wow, that hasn't happened in a while, but that shit was happening for a long while.
Right. Yeah, because people will like back away. Yeah. And then I remember I was in a training once and like the person who was working on me, I was the model, was very heavy handed. And the instructor goes, hey, Rachel, is her pressure okay? And I was like, no, she could ease up a little bit. And she said, quote, yeah, I go in hard. And just continued on.
Pass the chill.
I was like, all right.
I need her to calm down.
It was a lot. But yeah, so now you guys know. Those are the two things to look for. Right. Your client is squinting, and if they're moving their head away.
Right.
Usually telltale signs of being heavy-handed.
Not good.
Anyways.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
So you were saying you wanted to work in like magazines and stuff like that. Has there been any like career highlights for you so far?
Yeah.
What's been your career highlight so far?
I mean, do you want me to flex? I can flex.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So let's see. Me and Pepper, if you don't know, Perfected by Pepper, yes. We got the opportunity to do a Smirnoff, like the alcohol, a Smirnoff campaign for Pride last year. That was amazing. And then I also, like, I couldn't fangirl in person. I'm so good at, I guess not fangirling, but like, obviously being in this industry, we're around like important people and celebrities every now and then. But I got to do Corey from America's Next Top Model. He was in one of the later seasons. I love him. He's such a gem. He's so nice in person.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to do his makeup for that. So that was like a really weird full circle moment because I was like, me and my sisters were definitely rooting for you, okay, a few years ago. And then like,
yeah,
it was a whole alignment thing. Let's see. I had my work with Danessa Myers Beauty featured on Sephora. Mm-hmm. I have work in Office Magazine with Tenario. She's a model singer. And again, beautiful, magical woman. I have some content features. This was more recent in Allure and Vogue Beauty. That took me by surprise.
That was so cool.
That was a little crazy. I was like, whoa, what's going on? But yeah, just to name a few, just a slight flex.
That's amazing though.
Thank you.
Like it's so, and this is why I wanted to have you on here because you're so inspiring and that like people think that like they have to go to school, they have to do X, Y, and Z to be successful. And like you're walking living proof of like how things are going. And like, I feel like it just keeps getting better from here. Most importantly, I feel like coming up, you are launching your big masterclass. Can you tell, let's talk about your class. Let's talk about community, all the things that you're doing right now.
Right. So this ties in together so well because being a self-taught makeup artist, so I'm like queen of DIY to a problem. What? That was not a sentence. I'm
to a fault.
I'm the queen of DIY to a fault. I'm like sitting here writing in my manifestation journal, like all these things I want to do. And I'm like, wow, I want to get all of this done in 6 months. And I was like, wow, Journey, you're never going to get all this done in 6 months. Like not self-doubting, but just being realist. And so I actually in September started working with Terry Watson. If you don't know her, another amazing makeup artist turned coach and mentor. She's based in Atlanta, I think.
Yeah, she's in Atlanta. She did Stacey Abrams makeup.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I've been following her work for a very long time. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, no, I tell her this all the time. Also, the way I went about getting that mentorship was so funny. But I tell her this all the time. Like, I have been implementing her work and her tips, like, just following her through social, so like working with her on like one-on-one has been just so different in the best way. Like I just it's just, she's amazing. She's also a Gemini, so we just like click, and she just gets me.
I'm a Gemini rising.
Okay. Let's wake that up. So yeah, so I basically came to her with all these ideas, and she's like, wow, I love this. So all we have to do is execute these things. And since then, I have been in grind mode. I have been working my ass off. I don't know who sleep is. I don't know who rest is. Never met her. But it's all been really exciting, and it's been like, I've just learned so much through this process. So we're launching this new hub for artists, makeup artists, beautypreneurs, I like to say, hairstylists, nail techs, lash techs, etc. Models, photographers. If you're a creative, okay, this new hub is for you. It's called Artist House. And under this house, I'll have like several different educational tools, as well as like some free, easy to access community features. So yeah, it was kind of like my own manifestation of like what I wished I would have had growing up as a self-taught artist. Mm-hmm. Because like I said earlier, like I really didn't have a community, or like I didn't even talk to another makeup artist prior to like 2020, mm-hmm. beyond like dropping some hard eyes. Like I really just never had a one-on-one conversation until then. And so like my goal is to be able to educate and connect with beginner makeup artists so that they don't have to struggle like I did. So under Artist House, one of the main features is going to be the masterclasses. So I have them based off of my both of my services that I offer in person. So I have my signature glam. This is more of like your traditional, natural, neutral glam, as well as my editorial glam. So this is what I'm known for a lot on Instagram. So think like creative, graphic liner, dewy skin, etc. So I have one class for both of those styles. And then moving on from that, like you said earlier, I am reworking and relaunching my templates. So they've been down for last month. I missed them, but we're working on them to make them better, more digestible. I think that's, again, what's so amazing about working with Terry. She's like, she's just affirmed me and let me know, like, Journey, you have the good. You just need to do X and you're going to get what you want. So reworking these templates, like, not just aesthetic, but just content as well, has been really rewarding. Because it's kind of like I came to her with the rough draft, and then the finalized version, what everyone is going to get, is just so much more elevated and so much more easy to understand. But there's a bunch of different things within those. There's a bunch of different digital downloads available. There's templates, guides, contracts, makeup handbook, etc. And then the last feature of Artist House is going to be my one-on-one coaching sessions. So we're calling these the Artistry Audits. And we basically go over everything. I mentioned a lot, like, love how I present myself business-wise. So I go through the artistry. I go through the websites, the socials, anything that you need that one-on-one help with, learning about any aspect of your makeup artistry, like, I'm here for that. Even if you're not a makeup artist, like, we can work through that too. And yeah, the community feature, I'm going to be reaching out socials, emails through that website itself, where Artist House is under, being able to connect with everyone one-on-one. And so far we are at over 200 people in the Artist Bestie community. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So we got some things to talk about. We got some people to connect with, but I'm just really excited about this. Beyond like just being smarter about my business and realizing that like every way I connect with people and every way I make money doesn't have to be in person and like physically standing and working for, you know, everything about my business. Like, I think digital access to others is just so much more realistic and accessible. And yeah, I'm just like excited to diversify my business and like just put community at the forefront, because again, like, I was just missing that growing up as a makeup artist.
Yeah, well, that's why I even have lipstick biddies. Okay, like literally all the same reasons.
Right,
like I wanted to make something that I didn't have, and also break down the barrier between pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts,
right?
So that we could all kind of like learn from each other. And it just goes to show that like there's so many different ways to achieve different things, like achieve the same goal, I guess. Like, you know, like both of us have like the same goal of like bringing together more community, providing more resources for people, and diversifying your business. And you're doing it by creating your own hub. I have the Patreon, I have the Discord, you know, like we all have different things. Some people can do it just through a Facebook group. We've had people like Elena was just on the podcast. She made like a Facebook group for non-union makeup artists. It just goes to show that like if you're feeling like if you feel in like, your gut that like you want something that's not out there, like you can do it,
right?
And people will join it.
Right.
People, like, there's enough room for everybody. I'm in like five or six different like networking groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I get something unique from every single one of them.
Right.
And I joined each one of them for different reasons. Is there some overlap? Of course, because it's the industry. But I get enough out of each one that's unique that I like to be at all of them.
Right.
And I think that, like, spreading yourself out and getting in different communities is the way that you build your business and get more clients and get those referrals and things like that.
Right.
I think that, like, getting referrals from makeup artists is something that we've also talked about a lot on the podcast, is like your relationships with other makeup artists is so important to not feel like you're in competition, because other makeup artists are going to be the people that are going to give you a lot of jobs.
Right. And it's it's more likely than not the makeup artists that are working in your area. Like, half of the job referrals I've gotten are people in the Philadelphia area, because they're like, I can't do that. Can you?
So how does it feel for you? Because, like, I feel like my biggest thing is, like, I just get, like, so much joy and gratitude, like, out of seeing, like, especially for me with now doing in-person events. Like, we had, like, our Atlanta meetup a while ago, and then knowing that, like, a lot of the makeup artists met the photographer who was covering, and then seeing that they did, like, photo shoots together, like, you know, and I was like, yay, yes,
right,
yes, it's working. So right, like right. What keep that, like, that kind of energy kind of is keeps me going to, like, do things like that, because I'm like, this is, like, it's working. People are getting portfolio work out of this. People are getting those connections.
Right.
What is something that, like, motivates you out of, like, all of this?
Something that me and Terry specifically have been working through was just, like, the mindset shift. Let me say that again. Mm-hmm. Something me and Terry have been working through is the mindset shift that's necessary to do all this. And I was talking to her a lot about how I always feel like a certain level of disconnect from my business, because I've been very strict, and it's paid off. I've been very strict about not mixing business with pleasure. Like, for example, I have, like, my personal Instagram page that's, like, private, and, like, only people that know me in real life, like, from Pensacola, can have it. And then, like, my makeup business page. And anytime, like, someone has, like, muddied the two, or, like, let's say, like, I'm out drinking with friends, right? And then they tag my makeup page. I'm like, no, take that down. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know what I'm gonna say? Like, why are you being like that? And so in having that notion in my head that, like, I have to lead these, like, kind of two separate lives as journey, there has been a certain level of, like, a personal disconnect from my makeup page. And, like, it isn't until people meet me in person and, like, we talk and they, like, see I'm crazy in real life, and they're like, oh, like, you're not, like, this super 100% all the time professional makeup artist, like, you're actually, like, a human being too. I'm like, oh shit, is that my fault? Like, oh, it probably is my fault. And so what's so great about this launch for me is that I'm starting to break that wall down and realize that I'm at a point where, you know, I have my boundaries, but that doesn't mean I have to keep myself from, like, truly connecting with people. Also, because being a, not only a makeup artist, but influencer, things on socials, which is where, you know, 90% of the time, that's how we're talking to other makeup artists, they can start to feel, like, very transactional and, like, not in a negative way, like, oh, I hate this girl, but let me just return the likes or whatever, you know, but it's just very, like, oh, you scratch your back, I'll scratch yours. And that's not how I think, but I think it's a way I've begun to think in the last couple of years of being in the space. Mm-hmm. So, like, breaking that down too has been, like, just very freeing for me. And to another point related, I think being a self-taught artist, like, one of the hardest lessons I've had to learn is how to talk my shit. Cause it's like, I don't necessarily have the credentials, quote unquote, on paper up until these last couple of years to be able to do that. But if you're a self-employed person, if you're a creative, you literally have to talk your shit every day.
Yeah.
You literally have to, because if you don't do it, I don't know who you think is about to do it, but it's got to be you, babe.
I leave Lipstick Bitty stickers now, like, with my checks at restaurants.
Okay.
Spread the word.
Yo, my boyfriend is relentless. He was like, let me get a few of them business cards. Oh my God. Every single time we left somewhere, it was up on a board. I was like, dude, we're in a bar at 2 a.m.
That's so nice though. Like,
it is. You know what I mean? But,
like, that's because, like, it's hard sometimes. Like, it's the imposter syndrome, right, and, like, that kind of thing. But, like, I want to go back to what you were saying about the disconnect between your two pages, something, because that's something that I also struggled with when I used to be all in on my Rachel Rose makeup account. I felt like it was very, like, prop, even the way that I made, like, I feel like the way that you make content, you can see glimmer, you can see your personality through it. But the way that I was making my content on my Rachel Rose makeup page was like, let's do skin. And I was like, this is not me.
No, that was definitely me. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Really hard to get out of that. Even that was another thing me and Terry were talking about. She was like, you're overcomplicating your social. She's like, all you have to do is tell your story. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, okay, you're posting this video about doing this client's makeup. Tell them about where she was going. Tell them about what she requested, how you fulfilled her needs, X, Y, Z. She's like, no one cares about what foundation you used, you know? Yeah. No one cares about these hashtags. Just connect with people and tell your story. And when she said it like that, it like clicked so much quicker. I was like, wow, that's what I've been missing this entire time. So I definitely feel like being a makeup artist, you automatically feel like you have to also be an influencer, and then you have to start talking very influencery, and it just, there is that certain level of disconnect, and people get sick of it, and like most of us know what's up now, and it's like child, I'm gonna show my love for y'all on these ads because this is y'all's money, but I don't care about this. Like, I'm not truly digesting the content unless there's a certain level of relatability.
I think like following people like Ashley from Restroom Rituals also like kind of like gave me the, I don't want to say courage, kind of like the kind of like validated, like, if she can do it, I can too.
Right.
How she is, like, because she and I got to meet up in real life for the first time when I went out to California this summer. She's literally the exact same person online as she is in her content. And I was like, I am a naturally very funny, bubbly person. Why am I like restricting myself?
Right.
And the reason when I did my introspective work, it was because I struggle with vulnerability in my life.
Same.
In all aspects and relationships that I have. And of course, I'm going to struggle with being vulnerable in front of a fucking audience of 5,000 strangers that are following me on the internet. Why would I be my goofy self that got picked on in middle school, even though I know that that shit is really fucking deep rooted, like internalized shit about vulnerability.
Right.
But unless you take the steps, and like I have been over the past, like, I feel like year, especially doing more content, showing your real self, showing, you know, obviously keep some stuff private because we don't need to share everything with everybody.
Yeah.
But like, you're never gonna like get those genuine connections. And if your goal is genuine connections and broadening community, you have to lead by example, and you have to lead by being vulnerable yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the way you just stole my story, because
we're very similar.
Yeah,
we're very
100% similar. Like, literally the same.
Honestly, though, like, the thing is, I'm, I don't know, what, like, 8 years older, 6 years older than you. I wish that I knew at your age what I knew now. So, like, it's impressive that, like, you're kind of, like, doing this work now, because when you get to your 30s, you're going to be even further along in that journey. And I feel like I'm only just getting through it now. And like, honestly, people go into their fucking deathbed and like 70 years old, never being vulnerable. So I'm glad that like I'm doing it. I'm doing the work now, even if it's like, it's never too late to do that work, but it is hard shit. It is. And like vulnerability, that Brene Brown, like, it, and my therapist loves Brene Brown. Have you heard Brene Brown? Mm-mm. Okay. I'll have to send you her stuff, but she's like a researcher on like relationships and vulnerability. And she does these like TED Talks and stuff like that. I'll have to send you her stuff, but she does this whole thing about vulnerability. And it was like, so she says like the most like profound shit, basically, you know, just like, how can you ever have like those like genuine moments, genuine connections, if you yourself cannot offer that to other people?
Right. You can offer it to yourself, let alone others. Like, you have to be able to offer it to yourself, or like just be honest about it.
And you have to be honest. It's like vulnerability is tied into honesty, right? And like all these different emotions that you also need to like have those conversations with yourself. And like, are you being true to yourself?
Right.
Are you being true with yourself in the way that you're making content? Are you making this content for the likes? Mm-hmm. Are you launching this class because obviously you all want to make money, but are you like launching something under the guise of like community when you're actually just trying to make money off of people and not actually offer, you know what I mean? Like, you have to get like, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but like, you know what I mean? It's just like a lot of work, and like, it's good that you're doing it now. And like, that's why you're doing great things now.
Thank you.
So,
I mean, people can read energy, and they can read like if anything feels forced or disingenuous.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that doesn't lie at all. So it's exactly what you said. Like, people have that awareness, even if they don't understand it. So I feel like you just said, obviously, like, I'm doing all this work to make a profit, but if I was only doing it to make a profit, like, I wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't be coming out as quick as it was, because I'm working on it like so hard every day. And I can't say too much, but let me just say this. I watched the class last night to send like final notes to my videographer. And I was just sitting here like, oh my God, bitch, this is my class. Like, what's going on? Like, oh my God. I can't say too much, but the quality, wow. And it's really crazy because I was going through a really rough mental patch at the beginning of the year. And one of the mm-hmm. things that got me through was like manifestation and visualizing how I wanted my life to look like if I could get through that patch. I very vividly remember, since we're talking about being vulnerable, I very vividly remember like visualizing myself teaching a class. So I had a moment while we were recording where I kind of like had to like take a step back and I was like, oh shit, like I was about to start crying. So I was like, wow, I'm really doing it. Aww. So like watching it last night was like the same feeling all over again. And I was like, oh my God, like, Jared, you did something. Go ahead.
Well, they don't need to wait that long because they can sign up in like 2 days yeah. from when this airs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so November 11th, right?
November 11th, yes. Yeah. We'll see about the time because we're in grind mode right now. But
the money, like we were saying before about like, you know, turning a profit. What I mean is like the money is going to come. The money is just like the sprinkles on top,
right?
Because it's work that like you feel passionate about doing,
right?
And it'll come because it's coming from a genuine place,
right? And, it was also, sorry,
yeah, go ahead.
It was also important for me to create something that was affordable and like reasonable,
accessible,
very much so, because part of the reason I haven't gone to cosmetology school yet was the money factor. Like I don't know how much it is in Atlanta, but in Jersey, she's talking about $12,000 for 9 months.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Yeah. And so I wanted to create something that felt like very near a fraction of that, that was just as valuable.
Yeah. And like Biddies, we're going to share all of this in the show notes and the highlight reels when this airs. But Jern is also going to offer a small discount for the listeners.
Yes.
Details will be in the show notes.
Yes.
And also on vulnerability, doing something like this, Jern, is very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm just glad that like you're sharing your story. And like, I feel like I've gotten to know you so much more just in this like 45 minutes than we've been talking, and we've even like spent a lot of time in person. So I think that like, I just want to commend you for like coming on here and being so open, because hopefully it'll also encourage and inspire people that are looking to do the same things that you're doing.
Right. And it's really, it's crazy because, not to discount the work I've done, but I do want to say, like, it's not as hard as you think. And granted, I had a mentor that helped coach me through, and I had, like, a really amazing team that showed up for me to record the class. But, I mean, this was the effort of 5 people in 2 months. It's not, you know what I'm trying to say? If you do your research, if you spend time planning it out, it's not as hard as you think. So I definitely want to encourage people to, you know, take whatever avenues they want to take when it comes to diversifying their makeup business. Like, it's very life-changing and important, and it's not as hard as you think.
I just have like one other question that I kind of want to like ask you, kind of like talking about like manifestation and like speaking things out. I feel like that's something that we do on this podcast as well, and I want to make it more of like a forefront in a conversations that I have with my guests. So I would love to hear what's something that you are manifesting for your future, whether it's like a career goal or personal goal. Speak it out now so we can talk about it when it happens.
I love that. Let's see. I'm 23. I want 6 figures by 28.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I would really love it by 25, but I'm trying to be realistic. But yeah, by 28, I'll be happy with that. Let's see what else. I want some work-life balance. This is also why, like, as hard as I've been working, I low-key don't mind it, because I kind of feel like, I don't know about you, but like fall, winter tends to be slower seasons as far as like makeup bookings. So because of that little bit of extra time I have, I'm like, okay, well, this is the time to think about passive income, to work on content, etc. But yet I am still working from 8 a.m. to midnight every day. I am still pulling 40 to 80 hour weeks. And this past spring, summer was like the busiest my business has ever been, because I moved into that studio. Woo! Those weekends, those 12 to 16 hour days all weekend were crazy. So yeah, I definitely want some work-life balance. I would like to feel like, you know, obviously being makeup artists, our schedules look different every day, especially depending on what industry or like avenue you're in. But yeah, I would like a 9-to-5 feeling.
Absolutely. Well, I think if you're making 6 figures, you could also be hiring a team, and then it'll take the workload off of you. That's what I'm working on right now.
Exactly. That's what I want. Yeah. Oh, the all day right. I get to hire someone to wash my brushes, I will feel very accomplished.
I know, right?
Like, I'm overdoing that, actually. I have,
dude,
washed more brushes than has been made in certain countries. You know, like, I'm over it.
There needs to be an app, and if you're listening to this and you're a software developer and you want to partner with me on this,
please.
Uber, but people who wash your makeup brushes and your kit, and they come and sanitize your kit.
Yes. Like, take that shit all would, the beauty that would, shit money. Would take off. That's it. Yeah.
People would pay for it. Okay. Because, like, you would just work it into your rate.
Right.
And then they'd come over and, like, you know, do everything. Like, they clean your brushes, they clean your entire kit and scrub it down and then leave.
Again, it's not that hard. It's time consuming.
Okay. It's annoying.
Right.
It's
annoying. Oh, trust, I will be hiring some 18-year-old cosmetology student in the next few years. Wash these brushes, babe. I'll give you some free classes. Please.
Yes.
Something.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Yep. All right. So when that happens, we're going to be checking in on you.
Yes.
So, Jern, thank you so much again for being here with me, for giving me your time. Really excited about your class. Please, please, biddies, check it out. Before we sign off, do you have any additional parting words of advice? And can you let the listeners know where they can find you on social media? Anything else you want to plug before we sign off?
Yes. So let's see. Again, masterclass, by the time you're all listening to this, will be launching November 11th. So 2 days from then. The link to that will be in my bio. Can't say what website just yet. Let's see. You can find me on socials at The Journey Gabrielle. So T-H-E, Journey, like Journey Smollett, J-U-R-N-E-E. And it's pronounced Gabrielle, but you spell it like Gabriel. So G-A-B-R-I-E-L. And that's across Instagram, TikTok, and expanding, because doing other socials is a lot of work. Just thank you for having me. Like I said, again, like, I usually listen to this in the gym, and it really does help me to, like, shift my focus and, yeah, like, mentally shift my focus towards my makeup business, what I need to do for that, my mindset I need to have. So I just hope that I was able to do that for someone else here with you today. And I'm just grateful. And I'm excited.
Thanks, Journey.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, biddies. Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head biddy in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Biddies. Remember, you are a badass fucking biddy. See you next week.